You've got to tell your friend Brantley to stop playing on his phone while he's sitting on the toilet.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Compelled to Tell. I'm your host, Brantley T. Douglas III, and with us always is Noah, our producer. And this week, I have two very, very, very special guests with us, former grad students, colleagues, and friends, Jenny Ryan and Paul Dombowski. Hello, Jenny and Paul.
Hello.
Hello, Brantley. Hello, Noah. Hello, Jenny.
Okay, I feel like the Brady Bunch, Paul looking up at the corner there. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I thought we would start off by letting you just quickly introduce yourselves, talk about maybe what you're wanting to do, if you want the world to know that, and then we'll jump right into some of the topics for this evening. We'll start with Jenny.
Okay. So I went to JMU twice. Or the Dead Presidents University, sorry, twice. I'm in my 30th year teaching band and orchestra and in the Richmond area.
And Paul?
This is year 35 of teaching for me. And I live in Annapolis, Maryland, and I'm currently an assistant principal within their school system and also direct the band at one of our local colleges.
Great. You guys have gone on to do such great things, and I'm so proud of you, and I'm glad that we're able to sort of talk and reminisce, look, I'm saying it, reminisce, you know, I can't say Vietnamese, that's the other word I can't, Vietnamese. Yeah, I can't say that word. Okay. But anyway, so I have an ongoing relationship with Jenny that I've been writing her shows for, gosh, how many years now? Forever and ever. Yeah, and am I doing your next show, hopefully? Okay, all right, just all right, okay. Okay.
So that would have been awkward. That would have been really awkward.
I know.
That would have been fantastic.
Right?
Well, now that you mentioned
technical difficulties here.
Riley, are you talking? I can't hear you.
Well, I'm going to jump in right in on one story that involves the two of you. And it involves Paul's first plane trip ever and a certain trip to Chicago. For
right for the jungler there, Brantley.
Wasn't that your first plane trip, Paul?
It was.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of firsts.
We were both plane.
Well, I knew
okay,
we'd get to the ground.
That's so many levels.
I knew we'd get to the ground one way or the other.
One way or the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the reason that I like this, I didn't realize that that was both your first trip on an airplane, but we were had gone to Midwest for the Dead President School booth to set up and advertise and those sorts of things. But there was a very unusual experience that I'd kind of like you to talk about, because I have one recollection of this trip, and I still curse that restaurant whenever I go by it. But I thought we would talk about that. And there's a third party, and I'm thinking, I need to get Dwayne on this as well.
You should.
Because he was, well, I'll just leave it. I'll go.
Okay. Go, Paul.
Well, okay. So as typical grad students get to do, we went and we worked the booth for the university at Midwest and visited with people. And then as Midwest goes, it's an opportunity for you to see people that you don't normally get to see very often. And so as it turns out, one of the nights that we were there, a bunch of grad students from various universities, people that Jenny knew from previous her undergrad days, and a bunch of us all went out to dinner. And we went to a place, Brantley, that I want to mention that I recollect that you recommended to us. So I want to...
I don't think I did. I don't think I recommended that. I will not take the responsibility for that.
Okay.
I don't know how we picked it then. Maybe one of the other people chose it.
The only thing I will take responsibility for is that night was the one night I was not with you guys. That's the only responsibility I will take.
Okay.
Well, so we go to dinner, and they sat us in the back room of this restaurant that shall go unnamed.
And no, I'll say because of what happened, you can say the name. I'll say it.
Ooh, say it.
The Exchequer.
The Exchequer.
Beware of the... Okay.
Which I will add that Linda sent me a picture of. My wife was working the booth for her employer at Midwest this year, and she felt the need to send me a picture of the front of the building. So the very nice people at the restaurant put us into a very large back room, and you know, with a large table. And as those things tend to do, there was a lot of conversation and a lot of cheer that was going on over the course of the evening. And we started winding things down, and the waitress came out and said, "Well, you know, I'm going to go and ring out the rest of my checks. So I'm going to leave the check with you, and I'll come back and I'll get the payment here in a little bit." And of course, we were all on stipends, right? And back for those you young folks that are listening, back in the day, they just handed you a wad of cash and said, "Here, make this last for the weekend," right?
Right.
So we're all sorting out our money and exchanging the money back and forth, and we end up with a nice pile of money. I don't know, Jenny, how many folks were there? It was at least 10 or 12, yeah?
10 or 12, yeah. It was a big table.
And so we end up with a nice stack of dollar bills there. And,
including a nice tip.
And including a very fine tip. And this well-dressed gentleman comes up and says, "How was your meal? Can I get you any dessert, any coffee? Did you have a nice evening here with us?" And we said, "No, we're good to go." And he said, "Well, I'll go ahead and I'll take this up and get you all rung out." And as it happens to be, there's a window looking out onto the street. And I happened to notice the gentleman walk by the window. And Jenny, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think my comment was, "Well, I really hope that guy works here."
Yeah. Well,
and I.
But the question is, was he wearing a logoed shirt?
Well, that's thanks to Officer Friendly.
There's the lesson learned.
And I kid you not, 2 seconds later, the waitress comes back saying, "All right, I can take up the bill now."
Yep.
And I think my remark was, "Your friend just took it. You might want to go catch up with him outside." And so then the sequence of events was that the manager
came. Dwayne got very loud and almost got arrested.
Very loud. Dwayne got very loud. Yes. Matt came over and he said, "Well, you got to pay your bill." And I remarked, "Well, your boy there already did. We just got robbed in your restaurant." And so he called the police, and the two poor beat cops that came in there, they didn't know what to do. So they called the boss. They called the shift sergeant in. And so this old grizzled Chicago police officer comes in there, the sergeant. And as I recall, and my brain is faded a little bit by the 25-year interval and the cloudiness of the cheer that was being exchanged that evening. He said, "Well, folks, I think you've got two choices here. One, you can either pay your bill or I can lock you up."
Yeah. Yep. And I think you told the policeman what you thought had happened. And he was like, "Are you accusing this waitress of stealing your money?" And you were like, "I'm just telling you what I see. I'm telling you what I see." And we're like, "Paul's going to get arrested. Paul's going to get arrested."
But
then we paid it.
We paid it.
Brantley felt bad for us.
Yeah,
and Pieware gave us money and bought us another dinner.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
But Dwayne almost got you arrested. I mean, Dwayne wouldn't shut up, from what I from what I heard. In that situation.
Yeah. So yeah, we got robbed in Chicago.
I'm so sorry. And it was the one night I didn't go out with you guys. That was the one night. Yeah. That I do remember.
It was nearly as disappointing as the carrot cake.
Now, listen. I need to get Susan on as well, because I'm telling you, that carrot cake could have fed a small nation. It was ginormous.
Lichtenstein. Maybe Lichtenstein, but it was pretty weird.
No,
I think it was like this.
To coin a term that I use, it was a Bank of America size
piece. You know, they're almost bankrupt, right?
Well, okay. All right. I use BA, Bank of America, for big ass. But I'm telling you, it was a Bank of America size piece of carrot cake. And
did you eat it all?
Susan and I don't think we could get through it all. We couldn't. I'll have to get her on to verify that.
That's his code for saying you almost ate it all, but not quite.
Right. Well, you know, this again was back before we had cell phones, because let me tell you, I would have taken a picture of that, because it was at least that year it was big. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, and this is something that involves, I think, everybody here plus Scott, and I don't know who else, Jeremy may have been involved with this, the infamous Madisonian sign.
Oh, geez.
I love that. Yeah, let's talk about who destroyed it.
No.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah, let's talk.
There was no destruction involved. Destruction involved of the sign.
So, if I remember, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was summer band camp. We were working. We found the Madisonian sign, which was probably, 8 feet, 10 feet long?
Oh, it was longer
than
that.
And it was, made of wood and had glitter and sparkly. And it said, Madisonians. We found it on the loading dock.
And apparently it was used for at the Dead President School. There was a jazz choir, a swing choir,
a choir
called the Madisonians.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz hands. Right? And
we found it.
So there was a sign, this huge wood glitter sign. Yeah.
Purple, gold.
Yeah.
And we put it in a Jeep.
Well, let me give a little bit of a backstory, because for the summer camp at that Dead President School, out of the goodness of my heart, I would allow certain staff members that were important to me to stay in my home. They were allowed to stay in my home, one, because the person running the camp didn't want to pay for an extra room, but out of the goodness of my heart, I let them stay in my home. You may continue. You
Okay. So we put it, we managed to get it in a vehicle. And it was during the picnic, I think.
It's a Bank of America size sign.
It is very Bank of America.
It is very big.
We took it to Brantley's townhouse and we strapped it to his headboard. And then we went back to the picnic, maybe? And then we all came home after the picnic. And I know Jeremy was there. Susan might have been there. And we were watching TV. And we're all sitting there going, when's he going to go upstairs? When's he going to go upstairs? When's he going to go upstairs? And then finally, we're all like, oh, we're so tired. And Paul was going downstairs to sleep, because it was three levels. And Brantley goes upstairs. And we hear this, who is responsible. And Paul's like crying and sliding down the stairs on his stomach because he's laughing so hard and he has no strength to hold himself up. It was amazing. Oh, I love that. I could still hear it.
Hours of anticipation. It was hours.
Oh, yeah. It was perfect.
Yeah. So
where to go next?
So then what happened was, okay, so I've got this Bank of America sign, Madisonian sign.
It made a nice headboard.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to get somebody back. And I can't remember who I snuck it to. But what happened was, is like, it became this thing that you would try to sneak this like 10-foot sign into someone's house or where they worked. And yep. I can't remember. Did I? I can't remember who I got it to.
Did Jeremy get it?
I don't know, but I think everybody.
He used to get the clown picture or something, didn't he?
But did you ever get it, Jenny? Did you ever get
it? You sent it. So I sent it to you through Cheney when you were working at CNU.
That's right, because it came back to me.
Yes. She brought it back to me and put it in my office.
Okay.
But I think before that, didn't it go with Scott?
Yes. I think
the coup. That's my favorite story. I need to tell that.
I think the coup de grace was.
Because amazing.
For some reason, it kept coming back to me, and I'm like, I'm getting rid of this, right? Scott, who was a graduate student, got a job at the University of Montana or someplace mm-hmm. like that. So he had to go from Virginia to Montana. It happened like really fast. I managed to find the moving.
Didn't he have a pallet of stuff that was going to be sent out there or something?
Well, he found a moving company, and I found the moving company. And I called him. I said, oh, we want to surprise Scott with this sign. So can we just put this on his truck? We don't want him to know it. He's going to be – and the guy's like, really? He's like, no, he's going to love this. This is such a memento for him. All right. So I managed to get it on the moving truck to go out to Montana.
That is amazing.
And I still have that picture somewhere of Scott posing with the picture, giving me the double middle fingers.
Oh, absolutely.
From Montana. Yeah. So that was probably the longest move that it had.
Yes.
And I was going to start World War III if it ended up in Arkansas. Because.
He brought it back.
He did bring it back.
Then Mary Beth Hall took it to Paul's house because she had to go up to Maryland. And left it on your front porch, maybe?
Like it was tied across our entire picture window on our front porch of our house. And you have to remember that we live on the main drag in our neighborhood in the school district where I was teaching at the time. So it was pretty dramatic.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, so that sign really made its rounds. But unfortunately, it did die with you, Paul, didn't it?
Our basement flooded, and it was in the basement. And
it had a good life.
It did have a good life. Well,
it was well traveled.
I will tell you this, and I'm still going to do this for Scott and Laura. I was going to get them a little miniature Madisonian sign for their house.
Go on Etsy.
So I still have to do that. I want to do that just to make sure that's still around. But man, that made the rounds. Did you had it, Jenny, right? Paul's had it. Mm-hmm. Who else? Jeremy had it. Didn't Jeremy get it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And did Susan get it?
So you actually had it twice.
I know I had it at least two times, and I kept saying it needs to go to everybody else involved before it keeps coming back to me. I probably had it two or three times because that's why I was getting pissed because it kept coming back to me, and I'm like, no,
this
cannot come back to me. I will tell you that the horror when I walked into CNU and it was, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And the kids were like, oh no, they told us you would love this. So that was, I'm like, no. So,
man, you should have sent it to Arkansas.
I think it was dead. It was dead by then.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, you know, one of the things about Compelled to Tell is that, you know, I get people to tell their stories, but it seems like somebody always seems to have a story about me. So I feel compelled to tell stories about myself. There was the case of, like, I guess we could talk about the poopy pants. That was kind of bizarre.
Yeah, well, I mean, you used to come running into our office and say, I am compelled to tell, and tell us whatever horror had just happened to you, like flushing the toilet into your pants.
Oh my God, that was so horrific. That was horrific. That was. And it just, but now I'm trying to think about, why would I be sitting on the toilet anyway and flushing
it? You told us, if I remember correctly, that you did like a pre-flush to make sure everything was good, but you hadn't looked carefully and something was, you know, I think it was just water, but then you were like, I'm always keeping pants in my office now.
That's right. And that's why I started keeping a spare pair of clothes because I think I did a flush and then I sat down and it just came up and over into my pants.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I want to say, you know,
yeah,
nothing has changed because he would always come into our grad office as well. And it was usually Tyler, because, you know, he lived in that office. But he would always come in and just say the most random things that would have happened to him in the day, about, you know, almost getting run over or people stopping him. I can't remember. People stopping you in the hallway. What was it? There was squirrels in the building, snakes in the building.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. It is kind of
a lot of interesting things happen to you.
I'm trying to remember. There's something involved.
Yeah, and I don't want,
either you had to call the cops in snow, or someone called the cops on you. I can't remember. I'm trying to remember what happened. Maybe it was the bat. There was a bat in snow, and then you called the cops, and then came into the office and told us all about it.
Is snow a building or actual snow?
Oh, that's our fine arts building, Snow Fine Arts. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so if we're talking about arrangements, can we talk about Pep Band?
Oh, how about Mexican food?
Sure, we can. Why not?
So, you know, Jenny was always the one that was bringing the fun and games into the music office. And so you had the CD that was the Sexorama CD.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
My arranging project. So came to me and they said, what is that tune? And I said, well, it's this. And they said, could you write it out for us? So we wrote
it out. Wasn't it a girl who in a state? Isn't that what it was?
No.
A girl named Debbie?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Behind the Green Door, I think was the theme. And so we wrote it out and Brantley didn't know about it. And the next thing you know, they're in the stands and playing in Pep Band, playing porn music in front of the only time I've ever seen Brantley angry.
That was awesome. And didn't they take the, you know, the hands that say number one? And didn't they do something inappropriate with those?
Yes. Yes.
At a tournament. And Bill Posey was like, what is that?
And I asked, and they said, it means I love you. Right? Right? They said, and I said, so I could go, and I said to them, I could go up to Dr. Rooney and do that sign, and it'll mean I love you. And they're like, no, you shouldn't do that. I'm like, well, what does it mean?
Well, he wouldn't know what it was, but.
Well, obviously, he didn't know, so, I mean.